Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Unimech Aerospace and Manufacturing Limited Q3 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on the touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manish Manesha from Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome you all to the 3Q FY25 results conference call of Unimech Aerospace and Manufacturing Limited. We have with us from the management Mr. Anil Puttenkumar, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Ramkrishna Kamajola, Whole-time Director and CFO, and Mr. Rajnikant Balaraman, Whole-time Director. Over to Mr. Anil for your opening comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Manish. Good evening, everyone. I'm really excited to be part of this to take the first investors' call after our IPO listing. So on behalf of the entire Unimech team, I would like to extend our heartfelt thanks to our investors, partners, and stakeholders for their unwavering support and trust as we embark on this exciting new chapter on this new chapter as a publicly listed company. We are committed to delivering sustainable growth, creating long-term value for our shareholders, and maintaining the trust and confidence of our investors. We remain focused on executing our strategy and driving continued success in the years to come for our customers, investors, partners, and stakeholders. Overall, the last quarter was a fantastic quarter for us from the long-term aspects because we laid a strong foundation for growth and harvesting opportunities, actually. And I will talk about certain small setbacks also while kind of while I'm touch basing in the first slide. So overall, capacity addition to strengthen operations and drive growth. Okay, so we have added significant capacity for the future growth and also easing our operational challenges. And closing on strategic leadership on both sales as well as the operational positions to support our future expansion. We have closed out of the positions from business development, sales, and the operational aspects, a lot of the key positions. Focusing on the business units like the aero tooling or precision components, in-precision components, aerospace, and non-aerospace, a lot of these positions have been closed. And coming to the third point, sharpening our focus on core businesses, verticals, streamlining operations, and achieving greater efficiency. As I mentioned here, we have created a very strong systems and focus teams on each of our core verticals to increase our efficiencies, operational efficiencies, kind of to focus on the margins and the overall revenues. And coming to the fourth point, working on key SKUs qualifications, the new products, I would say, when I say SKUs, new products qualification, and high growth opportunities within our aerospace, nuclear, semiconductor segments to fuel the future growth. So we have been kind of part of a lot of the fair activities with a couple of our new customers or the emerging customers who are already there. And also the nuclear customers where we are working on high-value kind of product lines where we are getting qualified for the future orders. Okay, there's a very significant momentum happened because we created a focus on focus teams on these areas. And customers' confidence are very high on us on these verticals. And I would say in a nutshell, overall, these focus teams or systems have laid the groundwork for stronger foundations positioning for a mid and long-term growth, actually. So a lot of these will translate into kind of the stronger business performance quarter to quarter as well as the yearly what you guys are going to see in the future. So while I would say overall 9 months, the business performance has a decent growth, about 19% kind of the growth compared to the last year. But the quarter-on-quarter if you compare to the last quarter, our performance is little down. Let me be transparent on that. Because of, you know, the two major setbacks that we had, which we didn't anticipate also. So the one of the factors was kind of, you know, the LEAP licensing, which kind of, you know, we didn't anticipate even during the last quarter of the last year. And business, it was business as usual for our customer as well as for us, because, you know, Saffron or CFM or any of the customers on the LEAP, end customers like airlines or MROs, they were doing regular transactions without any issues. It's just that a lot of the high value, you know, the product lines didn't come to us in terms as, you know, in the form of big order for us, which kind of, you know, had a small setback on the revenue only for the quarter. It's a kind of once in a decade kind of an experience, because even it was not a big issue for our customers because the transaction was going as usual for us as well as for them. I'm giving you all the big confidence on this. This has been solved already. We have taken care of this. And it's just that I see that last quarter, small dip was there from revenue or the overall business performance. And coming to the second point, which is, you know, the nuclear segment, where we had one of the standard parts, which kind of, you know, goes into our the complete subsystem during the final testing. Okay, got, you know, kind of had a final technical glitch, which we realized when we kind of, you know, loaded these subsystems or the completed subsystems onto the testing station, which we have built in one of our facility. So this technical glitch has kind of, you know, kind of moved our revenue by a quarter, actually. Otherwise, the manufacturing aspect, the assembly aspect, all these have been taken care. It's just that one bought out item, which is approved, which is bought by one of the approved vendors in, you know, by our nuclear customer, it kind of had the technical glitch where we had to send all those items back, one of the items back to re-qualify, retest at a OEM, and then we got it back, and even that problem is also solved. It's just that we lost that particular timeline because we have a limitation or capacity issue on the test station, because these have to be, every assembly that we build have to be tested on our subsystem, on our test station. And, you know, once you lose that capacity on the test station, I think you can't regain. So that's kind of, you know, the bad news, but we have learned a lot from that. And as a company, or as a group, we stay confident, and our customer, we gain more customer confidence with, you know, the kind of process that we adapted to kind of, you know, we, how we kind of addressed all these challenges and we came out. So I would request Ram, our CFO, to take care of the rest of the slides, and then we are happy to kind of answer all your questions in the coming after the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Anil. Good evening, everyone. My name is Ram Krishna. I'm the CFO co-founder here. Next couple of slides, I'm going to touch base the company overview as well as, you know, the financial overview. The slide number 4, the business overview. So here, quickly, while Unimech, you know, the focus of Unimech remains same, we specialize in precision engineering and manufacturing of critical system and components, you know, predominantly supporting to MRO tooling, you know, and ground supporting both into electromechanical as well as, you know, precision parts segment. You know. So the business, you know, remains same. The focus of Unimech is high mix, high complex, you know, low volume category. Is again, you know, continue to focus on that, you know, dividing into both, addressing both into build to print and build to specification segment. And while, you know, business segment wise, as you all know, like we remain focused on two major segment, aero tooling, MRO tooling, where, you know, we manufacture, you know, the precision assemblies or aero tools, you know, for MRO, for aero engine segment as well as airframe segment, you know. And coming to precision parts and assembly segment, you know, while aerospace is remain focused, they also focus on defense, semiconductor and other emerging sectors, you know, in this segment. While the nature of both work in the side, you know, are completely different, and we have a separate facility and separate team, you know, to focus both the segment, aero tooling as well as precision parts. While coming to the other aspects of the financial business, you know, The revenue for the nine months ended, we closed at 174 crores, wherein 95% now is exports. And in terms of the main key enabler, which is the SKU qualification and number of eligible SKUs, wise now we are close to 4,000, you know, slightly above 4,000, you know, SKUs. We are so far qualified over 8 years of time. And in terms of facilities, as you all know, like, you know, we operate with two facilities with 180,000 square feet. And the only development is, like, you know, we are now added, you know, another 60,000 square feet, you know, which is now about to kind of, you know, inaugurate kind of thing, you know, so almost ready, and we are to use that. So coming to customer side, we have strong customer pipeline and customer base is there. 23 customers we have overall from 7 different countries. You know, as I told, like, the main we are focused on the export segment. And industries, you know, aerospace side, you know, we are still strong, and nuclear is going to be definitely our next priority in addition to the defense and semiconductor energy segment. Coming to the next slide, which is slide number 5, 9 months highlights. Here in a nutshell, as I mentioned, the revenue perspective, we are at 174 CR. Comparable from 9 months of last year, from 146 to we have moved to 174, which is 19% growth. And EBITDA side, 64 crores we gained, 64.5, you know, 9 months EBITDA, and PAT side 54.2 crores. While profitability wise, you know, in terms of margins, we remain, you know, stable, and we have shown a growth from the last 9 months last year period. Other aspects of operational performance, you know, which guide you in terms of growth, you know, over the last year to now, or last year and to now, which is 9 months. Customers wise, you know, as I mentioned, you know, the onboarding is quite good so far. You know, 9 new customers, you know, in this 9 months we have onboarded, total 25 number of customers. SKUs wise, you know, in the tooling segment, you know, continue to get qualified, do, you know, high complex, high tools, you know, we are continuing to do that, you know, from the existing licensees, you know, as of now, overall, you know, SKUs moved from 2,000 to 4,000 SKUs, and orders, as of now, as of 31st December, you know, 103 crores we have, and a new customer at that time, you know, nine new customers, you know, we were working, you know, nine in pipeline. Capacity-wise, as Anil mentioned, Chairman mentioned, like, you know, there's significant capacity added, you know, from 2,000,000 hours to 4,000,000 more critical, you know, high-end machines were added, you know. Right now, you know, the majority of the addition happened, you know, in November and, you know, kind of December. So utilization seems to be low, but, you know, the utilization in over 18 months to 24 months, you know, is going to be optimum utilization will be there. While to handle this growth, you know, definitely, you know, key people and, you know, the leadership team is definitely required, which we did, you know, last 9 months. So the headcount, you know, moved from 384 to 661, which includes leadership team for the both the segments. And most important thing is, you know, last quarter was, you know, lot of skilling activities in terms of, you know, operational, you know, training as well as, you know, the on-site training, you know, has been conducted successfully. Moving on to the next slide. Slide number 6, overall financial highlights, which gives you kind of, you know, overview as to how from the last couple of years, you know, we have moved. Revenue side, you know, definitely, you know, upward trend, you know, would be there, and, you know, by year end. And EBITDA margin levels, you know, any point of time, like, you know, 35% level, you know, we are always showing, you know. And in terms of PAT margins, so, you know, it's the main constant and strong, you know, showing more than 24-25% level. In terms of the return on capital employed and return on equity, while, you know, post capex addition and asset addition, you know, so in the last November, December, you know, there is a the utilization of assets perspective, you know, it is going to be futuristic. While you all appreciate that, you know, as of for this quarter, and maybe in a couple of quarters, you know, the ROCE is going to be slightly lower, but, you know, we are confident that, you know, over 18 months, 24 months, you know, it is back to normal. And fixed asset turnover ratio is also, as I mentioned earlier, that, you know, it is always, you know, 3.5, you know, kind of turnover ratio, where we always maintain, you know, once assets, you know, come into, you know, a full utilization for the year. Coming to the next slide number 7, quarter highlights. This quarter, you know, definitely it's less than our expectation as a quarter. Even if you compare with the last quarter or last year quarter, it is definitely low. As Anil mentioned, you know, quite you know, unique challenges we have faced in terms of, you know, customer license renewal, as well as, you know, nuclear power, you know, one of the standard parts, you know, technically, which as Anil mentioned, you know, has caused us to spend more time on, you know, solving out, you know, this technical issue and, you know, resolving that. While good part is, I think there is not no more, you know, any issue now, and we have resolved it, and, you know, we are back to normal. In addition to that, the last quarter, you know, all the kind of, you know, that the efforts put in more towards, you know, hiring the talent. You know, as you can see, like, you know, as in the first slide, you know, we were in, you know, a 380, you know, kind of in headcount to now 661. We have moved majority of the talent pool enhancement happened in the last quarter. And prior to the quarter, whomever we have hired, you know, for the majority of the training happened, you know, it's the time that, you know, that train, people hiring, people training, you know, the efforts were gone in. And next thing, facility expansion, 60,000 square feet, you know, aerospace special economic zone facility has been, you know, now completed in, and, you know, it got, you know, kind of put to utilize now. So while the quarter, last quarter, kind of, you know, more of like the facility alignment, you know, from old facility to enhanced facility. And even, you know, the other facility where PNEA factory, where, you know, nuclear power segment, you know, working, you know, there also renovation work was happening. And a lot of machines, you know, were moved to, you know, new facilities, and, you know, the existing facility almost come to new machines for around 2-3 alone, you know, out of 70 new machines which we planned in IPO money, you know. So the effort, you know, the kind of major strategic initiatives, activities, actions were carried out, you know, in the last quarter, which we are very confident that will give, you know, good results, you know, in the coming quarters and the coming years. Slide number 8, the consolidated review, Q3 and, you know, and, you know, the 9 months ended, like, you know, so as you can see, the overall revenue from 53 and, you know, for nine months, 174 crores, you know, we reported, and PBT level 19 crores, and, you know, overall, you know, 9 months, 69 crores, and the PAT level, it is for the quarter, 15 crores, and, you know, overall, 54 crores. However, you know, a couple of important aspects that I would like to highlight here is, you know, in terms of cost perspective, material costs, you know, remain under control, you know, so we don't see any major ups and downs, you know, in any material cost consumption level in terms of, you know, prices or anything, you know, there's no major issue as such. Subcontracting level, as you can see, you know, slightly it is coming down because of more machineries are, you know, coming into the facilities, and, you know, own machineries are going to be used more. So there would be like a small, you know, reduction in subcontracting charges, you know, would be noticing going forward as well. And employee benefit side, definitely referring to the previous point, you know, the percentage of employee benefit may be higher, but the question is, the important aspect is, you know, where, you know, majority of hiring happened, and, you know, where the actual benefit out of that, you know, is going to be derived in the future. Other expenses side, you know, it is remain under control. We don't see any major issue except, you know, the quarter three, some of the expenses, you know, would be kind of one-time nature. We have seen whether it is, you know, the compliance related, you know, some of the indirect compliance related, indirect IPO cost related, or, you know, kind of, you know, filing cost could be, you know, so we have some cost we have noticed, you know, which has pulled down the EBITDA margin in addition to the sales reduction. While EBITDA, you know, overall, you know, YTD level, it is about 35% in line with, you know, any of the previous quarters, previous year, you know, and we remain confident that, like, you know, the EBITDA level, you know, leaving quarter three, but, you know, it is definitely going to be, you know, attractive in the next coming quarters, or definitely in the next quarter. And PBT level and PAT level, you know, overall 9 months, we reported 28% level, and which is definitely better than in the last 9 months or last financial year. The ninth slide, you know, which I don't want to highlight too much, but here, you know, just like, you know, the top four customers, you know, who are our first customers, we feel proud to be in saying this, that, you know, they remain our top contributor in our revenue, and, you know, their their support, you know, is continuing to be growing in addition to the new customers, you know, in terms of revenue. And the customer confidence, an extension to that is, you know, we remain considered to be, you know, a green channel partner, you know, for majority of, you know, their shipment, you know, where, you know, we are authorized to drop, you know, their shipment, you know, different locations, you know, so that's, you know, kind of, you know, benefit, you know, the resilience, you know, through reduction, customer concentration, geographical reliance is happening. So, this is a kind of, you know, kind of positive side, you know, which we would proud to see always. Quickly, you know, move on to the business segment update, you know, slide number 11. I'll bring attention to the investors to the slide number 11. Again, the emphasis of business is, you know, two segments. Segment one, aero tooling, and segment two, you know, precision parts. In the segment one, aero tooling, as you all know, we focus on two major categories of tooling, aero engine tool, airframe tool. Aero engine tool, where we focus on you know, the top engine programs directly work with, you know, their licensees and some of the OEMs as well. And airframe side as well as, you know, some of the OEMs, you know, will work. While, you know, aero engine tooling is always the first business which we started, and now the focus of the segment or the revenue contribution in this segment is very, very high. And the revenue as of now, you know, is coming from this segment is, you know, 86%. And the growth strategy of this segment is mainly important aspect is like, you know, the revenue or, you know, the kind of size of the revenue or margins always depend on the kind of choice of the complexity we select. And every time, you know, every quarter, every year, we will continue to focus on the complex tools and, you know, large size tools, you know, which we have not previously attempted, would always, you know, we will try to attempt that. And another strategy is to some of the customers, you know, we would like to get into potential exclusive contact with them, which bind, you know, for the long-term positioning clearly. And we always try to get large wallet share with these clients. And, you know, more important aspect of tooling segment is, you know, creating capacity is important, you know. The winning possibilities will always increase, you know, when you create capacity. Towards that, you know, some of the key strategic initiatives were already carried out in the last few, 3 and 4 months, you know. The number one, capacity expansion has, you know, the unit one aerospace SEZ, you know, 88 crores capital has been earmarked, you know, for building machinery as well as working capital, you know. Wherein, you know, we already created, you know, capacity of 372,870 hours, which is a kind of almost double size, you know, compared to last year, this, you know, March. And in addition to that, as a vertical is growing and the facility is increasing and business opportunities increasing, you know, we also enhance the talent pool here. More than 210 employees, you know, were recruited in this segment only, including the training is also over. And major important thing is now the organization structure point of view, we are adding the first level, strong first level people, you know. Senior management people also has been hired, you know, recently. And in this segment, you know, 6 new customers were added. Moving on to the next segment, you know, slide number 12. This is segment 2, precision component assembly. The PCA segment is again, you know, while, you know, this segment is, you know, started, you know, a couple of years before. This segment, you know, focus on, you know, precision engineering component as well as, you know, sub-assemblies and assembly, focusing on into beyond aero and beyond aero. While in the segment, we focus nuclear, aerospace, defense, and semiconductor and other emerging industries, you know, while nuclear of late started gaining more focus on this, you know, being, you know, the more government attention as well as, you know, opportunity in this segment is very high. Overall, you know, this segment has reported, you know, kind of year-on-year growth of, you know, kind of 6 crores to 46 crores, you know. And one important aspect, you know, which I would like to bring to investor notice, you know, on in terms of revenue from, you know, the precision component assembly segment, you know, while, you know, I heard from a couple of investors, you know, over a call, like, you know, so clarity about, you know, the number precision parts component revenue between tooling as well as this, you know. So between tooling and precision component segment, there is one item which is coming from the one of the shock mount, which is coming from the one of the customer, is of both the nature as well as tooling as well as precision component nature. Now that category of work, you know, the shock modes, you know, category of work, you know, going forward, you know, we wanted to, it can be considered under precision component segment, while, you know, if any of the investor wants to understand specifically of this value, they wanted to consider the tooling segment, we are happy to give it to that. And it can be considered, you know, any other segment, you know. Leaving that precision part, you know, new customers are going to be continued here. And this segment growth strategy is definitely on, you know, creating more capacity. And the approval process of, you know, we can say it's a kind of a strategy inspection, peer approval process, so, you know, we focus more on that. And, you know, the PCA segment growth will depend on, you know, diversifying across various industries, you know, new clients. And mainly the focus on nuclear segment, while we are heavily banking on, you know, the new tender which is going to come up, you know, EMCCR projects as well as new projects in the nuclear segment. So towards these strategies, you know, some of the strategic initiatives, you know, we have taken, you know, is, you know, definitely the point number one, capacity expansion. So the existing unit 2 in Pinya facility, you know, in Bangalore, under innovation to accommodate, you know, the large capacity of the machineries, you know, we have earmarked 62 crores, you know, for this segment, you know, towards plant and machinery, working capital, and already we created 56,000, you know, hours of capacity, which is a kind of 31% growth. And to handle the capacity and the business, you know, definitely the second strategic initiative, important initiative is, you know, talent pool has been enhanced, hired almost 69%, 69 number of headcounts were added, you know, including, you know, SMP kind of category businesses as well. And the new customer acquisition, you know, happened in this segment, you know, 3 new customers were added. And also this segment focusing, you know, exploring, you know, high growth opportunities towards the nuclear, as I mentioned, you know. So there, you know, more than, you know, 5 to 6 kind of, you know, phase, you know, under process now, which is the key approval process, which decide the, you know, the size of the next coming quarter orders as well as coming year orders, you know. So the focus is there on, you know, this thing. And we would also wanted to highlight the segment, you know, lot of, you know, new projects, you know, which is new nuclear reactor projects are coming up, you know. We are gearing up for, you know, towards that, as well as, you know, the renovation project, which is EMCCR project also, we are ready for that. And finally, and just a second, Mr. Anil wants to add a few things in this segment.
Yeah, so when you see the kind of, you know, the slide, the revenue segmentation between tooling and precision components. So the precision components, there is a drastic change in that number, because few of the product lines comes as, you know, the just detailed precision parts, you know, as part of the scope of manufacturing for us, which is purely precision in nature. So only we kind of move that those parts or revenues into kind of, you know, the precision segment. But still it is under the tooling category from a, you know, overall this one, since we don't kind of, you know, submit kind of offer the whole assembly solutions there. So this is kind of, you know, come under the precision, because this needs a kind of, you know, different kind of systems, operational systems, and, you know, the business unit approach. So that's where we kind of, you know, move that to precision side. I know it has kind of, you know, created some confusion among a couple of the investors, but we would kind of try to give the regular report to you guys on the tooling, overall as a revenue and precision component separately, and then probably based on the customer investor request, we are okay to kind of share the customer's report for you guys. So, but in a nutshell, I would say the big portion of, you know, the precision component revenue is still coming from the tooling. We will kind of, you know, give more clarity on, you know, the slides in the coming days.
Thanks, Hani. Moving on to the next slide. Slide number 13, details of manufacturing facilities. Wherein we would like to highlight a couple of important aspects and strategic initiatives that we have taken now in the last quarter. So in addition to the 2 facilities, you know, the 3rd facility is under the, you know, discussion, and we are very keen to close the new site, you know, which is again in Bangalore, and it's going to come up, you know, in a couple of days, you know. So third facility, you know, is needed towards the enhancement, you know, for the kind of capacity that we are adding for the future business. And in terms of the install capacity and utilization perspective, unit number one, the machine capacity has been moved, you know, increased from 1,79,000 to 3,72,000 hours, which is 107% growth, you know. This capacity utilization, you know, while, you know, added, you know, very recently, the utilization is 54%. And similarly, unit two, which is nuclear segment and fission component segment, you know, where the capacity enhanced from 43,000 to 56,000, you know, 31% growth, you know. Here again, utilization is 50% level. So, in addition to this, you know, as part of the IPO update, what you could have noticed that, you know, the new machinery is going to be added, you know, or arrived, you know, in the coming, you know, months. Total, you know, 40-50 machineries, you know, is going to come up, you know, which will add further, you know, capacity to the both units. And overall, the capacity utilization, you know, for the next 2 years, you know, we would definitely reach to the 90% level, you know, over 18 to 24 months. And in terms of manufacturing capabilities, again, you know, we remain to be strong in, you know, design engineering, manufacturing, fabrication, special process, and electrical electronics, so like, and assembly side, you know. So we'll continue to focus on the segment and strengthen for that. And that was about overall business and financial update. And I'll hand over to my fellow founder, you know, to explain about the strategic initiatives.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm now in slide 15. We'll be talking about strategic and new initiatives. The first update is on DA Engineering. As you know, we signed agreement to acquire 30% stake in DA Engineering. So the work that they're doing is among the top, you know, in the country, where they're looking at filling this white space of developing microgas turbine, which is indigenously developed for aerospace applications like UAV, missiles, etc. We feel this is going to be a very, very critical IP-led growth for a deep tech company. And as part of this agreement, Unimec will also be an exclusive manufacturing partner for DEA, creating more pipeline and runway for business. This partnership also further expands Unimec's capability in built-to-spec solutions and turbo machinery manufacturing, not just for microgas turbine, but also in engine manufacturing as well. Coming to the M&A opportunity, we continue to explore inorganic expansion opportunities that align with our long-term vision, making sure we are looking for deals which are, you know, accretive to our business, there's synergy to it, and at the right value. And, you know, as we find one, we will be closing that in. So far, we're mostly in the deal flow stage. As part of the geographical expansion, we are looking at expanding opportunities in the U.S. and European countries by increasing our wallet share, both for our existing suppliers and customers, as well as onboarding new customers. We are also in the lookout for collaboration with global players to look at any of the newer opportunities and product lines. With that, I hand it over back to Ram.
Thank you, Rajni. So that was our last slide. And Manish, so over to investors for any Q&A.
Rituja, we can take the Q&A, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Kamlesh Jain from Lotus Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and many thanks for the elaborate presentation. So just one observation, like we just came out with the IPO and we are also told that this decline in revenue was like say one time in happens in a decade. So why such a disclosure was not made in the IPO prospectus itself? Because I believe it would have happened in the quarter, in the October to December quarter. So why those disclosures were not made there?
Okay. So your question is, if I understand rightly, why the disclosure not made relevant to the license aspect. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it revenue downward or you know, the license renewal is?
No, the development. I'm not being on the fall in revenue. I am saying just about the that key development which happened in regarding the renewal of your tooling license. Because you have just articulated in your opening remarks that this happens once in a decade, then why such disclosure not being made during the prospectus itself?
Yeah. See, thanks for the question. A good question. See, the thing is like, we have not anticipated, we did not know that, okay, there was a license renewal pending at that point of time. And we got to know, okay, sir, I think we kind of realized it as we kind of went through the process in probably now December or something like that, the former signing is still pending, okay, though, because the regular business was happening regularly with our customer and our customer to their end customers, be it MROs or airlines or, you know, the kind of, you know, OEMs, they were negotiating on, it seems that, okay, they were negotiating on a couple of, you know, the rebates and, you know, the long-term pricing fixation or something, not major clauses actually, because it has happened with all the three licenses, not just with our top customer. I think we never made realize because we don't see their website, customer website or their certificates or anything like that. We were unknown of this factor. But when we saw the revenue downtrend, when we got to know that, okay, they have not, our customers have not ordered high value tools, which are very recurring in nature and volume in, you know, nature, that they have not ordered, procured in the last quarter, when we kind of, you know, executed, when we are during the last end of the quarter, we got to know that, okay, they have not carried the inventory that they used to carry because of the, you know, the renewal pending. Otherwise, the regular orders that were coming from their OEMs or their end customers were happening, and we thought, okay, this was kind of, you know, we would be able to recover within like a 10-15 crore kind of downtrend without understanding the kind of the detail of the license or the complexity or anything like that. Now that, okay, they have taken care of it during December, and it has also been, you know, the order intake also has been significantly improved from probably November, December. So it was already a solved issue by our customer without our awareness, actually. So we kind of, you know, didn't notice that significant change. But, you know, what hampered our, you know, the quarterly revenue was not just the tooling licensee, also the kind of, you know, the technical needs that we had in the nuclear reactor. We kind of, you know, had a setback of almost like we had to move about 7-8 crore kind of revenue in that quarter, which kind of affected this. So the combination is what affected. Otherwise, the tooling alone, we would have recovered, and we are still looking at possibility of recovering that actually.
Okay. And I hope that whatever such developments happen, we do disclose on the exchanges regularly. I know it's just a matter of days that you have got listed, but I hope in future you would be having a proper disclosure on those particular parts.
Sure. Yeah, we kind of, you know, understood the expectation because we are new to this, and definitely we'll take care of that. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. And sir, a second on like currently the flavor of the market is that whole tariff issue. So we have roughly around 77% of business comes from the U.S. So what are the tariffs which currently U.S. imposes on the tariffs which we have in India if anybody imports those materials? So can you elaborate on that particular part?
So in terms of the tariff increases, you know, on we heard some of the materials, you know, raw material side, you know, some tariff increase. As of now, we are trying to understand better. But while, you know, raw materials or, you know, material side import is, you know, as of now lesser. So in terms of manufacturing or, you know, consumption side, you know, we are not so worried. And in terms of, like, you know, our supply to the US, you know, what tariffs, you know, those details, you know, as of now we don't know. But I would like to emphasize one important aspect here, you know. When tooling the business, you know, with India, is not that they are focusing, you know, from cost saving angle or, you know, low cost angle. It's a kind of complexity and, you know, the complex manufacturing with, you know, the in time lead time. That was the kind of USP that Unimec established, you know. So we don't see as of now any worry in that. But yeah, to the extent, like, you know, how it is going to be costly for US side, you know, we are yet to evaluate, you know.
But if you can quantify what is the duty currently US charges, like, say, whatever material or your product supplier.
We don't know actually how much US is charging on our tools.
Most of what we do is ex-shipment, where a customer basically bears any of the customs duty. We are not aware of what those numbers.
Hey, in fact, we spoke to our customers also a few days ago, and then they say, okay, they don't see a big, you know, the change in this arrangement as of now. That's just a speculation, but we are still working closely with our customers and now their end customers also, because that's where this one of these licensing, it seems, renewal got delayed, because, you know, all this consideration they were making for the purpose of rebate. For example, now more business you do with OEMs or airlines, the more rebate you get. So they were considering these, you know, tariffs and other stuff as a factor, but I have not seen any big change in the kind of, you know, the contract that they have kind of, you know, agreed.
Thanks, sir. Thanks a lot and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jagveer Singh from Shade Capital. Please go ahead. Jagveer Singh, yes, please go ahead with the question, sir.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. We are unable to hear you, sir. Your voice is sounding very muffled. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, now it is better.
Hello?
Please go ahead.
Yeah, now it's better, man?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, sir, my question is related to the Q3 revenues. So this is down, so these revenues are shifted to the next quarter or what?
So, okay. Next quarter, if I understood your question, like, you know, the impact of this Q3, these two setbacks, would it continue for the next quarter? Is that your question, right? Hope I understood the
yes.
question, right?
Yes.
Okay. So towards it, you know, a couple of aspects I would like to highlight here. While licensing side, there is no issue because it started out issue. And technical glitch in terms of in NPCL segment, you know, while it started out in January kind of mid, you know, impact, you know, would be there from, you know, NPCL point of view. While overall, like, you know, as of now, in terms of the revenue, what we see in the next quarter Q4, you know, while, you know, nuclear power is still need to assess, you know, but leaving that, you know, we are kind of view that, you know, as of, you know, December in 100 CR opening order approximately we have, you know, so 65% conversion is very easily possible, and we see that the 65% conversion is going to happen. So to that extent, revenue for the Q4 will happen, and nuclear power, subject to, like, you know, testing and all those stuff, you know, capacity concern and, you know, test side, you know, if it happens successfully, we might see a little bit upside, but, you know, we don't want to, you know, bullish about that aspect as of now.
So in the Q4, we may see around 65 to 70 crore of revenue.
Approximately that range, you are right.
Okay. And so what is about the EBITDA margins? Because in Q3, EBITDA margins are very low, around 28%. So generally, we are doing around 36-38% EBITDA margins. So
sure.
What is the target for Q4 and the next financial year?
So, okay. Q3 EBITDA margin is never going to be a benchmark, you know, because that was an exceptional quarter. And now that the next quarter, you know, the revenue is decent, then, you know, EBITDA margin, we definitely see higher, you know, more than 40-ish, you know, would be there, you know, for the quarter and the quarters to come, you know. So because anytime, you know, we cross revenue of, you know, 60-ish, you know, so the EBITDA always will be good. So 40-ish kind of thing, you know, we are confident about.
So around 40%?
Yes.
Sir, what is the sustainable EBITDA margin for the next year, by 2026?
Sustainable EBITDA level would be same range would be there, sir, next four quarters also, next subsequent four quarters also.
Okay, sir. Next question is related to the order book. Generally, we have a small order book. So how we can see the revenue growth in the coming years?
Sure.
See, that's the reason why we kind of, you know, created the focus vertical, business verticals also on, you know, the Christian components and the Christian systems, where we've added a lot of, you know, strategic and key leadership positions. And to that is to build more resilience and, you know, the kind of diversity in the business. So, honestly speaking, today, we had a very good, you know, Aero India also, other than the leads that we are already working on emerging customers, with emerging customers already who are already onboarded. We had a very new, at least 15-16 kind of, you know, the leads, strong leads from, you know, the customers, the OEMs predominantly, both on airframe as well as, you know, engine, as well as some of the defense, you know, the leads. So that is definitely going to give a strong boost for our visibility and the resilience and the growth actually for the business. So as a listed company now, we have a very different, you know, customers have a very different kind of, you know, the viewing on us because, the lot of credibility has been built. And, you know, with the existing customer, you know, the success story, they want to be part of our success journey going forward. So definitely there's going to be a strong growth and very sustainable growth kind of, you know, the aspect that we're looking at. You know, probably in, we are working on all the kind of consolidation of all the leads and the emerging customers. Probably in the next quarter, you would get to see some idea about those, the longer visibility.
Sir, in this budget, so government has a big planning related to the nuclear power.
Yeah.
There are a lot of investments are going in the semiconductor also in India. So what is your take on this semiconductor nuclear power opportunity?
See, honestly speaking, we are fortunate to be in that segment. Already we are in that segment. It's not a segment that we are kind of, you know, tapping now. We are already present in these two segments, and we are working with a couple of OEMs. These are a couple of OEMs because, see, for example, on semiconductor, we are working with OEMs who are manufacturing the lab equipments as well as, you know, the semiconductor, you know, building equipments actually. So there is a very strong traction happening around that. And there also, it's kind of a high mix and high-end, high mix and medium and low volume, which attracts a similar kind of margin. That is one thing. And the second aspect is on the nuclear side. As you see, a lot of promotion happening around nuclear, both domestically as well as the international in the space. Okay, so and also seeing India collaborating with the U.S. for the technology aspects as well as to Europe. So I see a very strong growth story around the nuclear, and we are really strongly poised to capture this growth. And good thing is we are part of, you know, the various kind of, you know, the category of the reactors today, be it, you know, the 700 megawatts, the key subsystems or, you know, the second generation kind of, you know, the nuclear reactors or the small reactors that, you know, the whole world is banking on. So definitely I see this is going to be a huge journey. And also we are working with couple of tier ones who kind of, you know, can help us, you know, getting the bigger chunk of the order. So you're right. The question was really, you know, interesting. And we are exploring, we're investing more and more on these segments. And as a, you know, what is very interesting here, or probably I would love to
mention here is we are high mix and low volume game players, and a complex subsystem kind of, you know, solution, end-to-end solutions kind of makers. And these are the segments that require this kind of skill sets. And definitely we are in a right position today in the right time.
The last question related to the capacity. So we did that recently, we did some capacity expansion, and even we have raised some fund in the IP for the capacity expansion. So if we include all these capacities, so what kind of revenues we can do in at the full peak capacity, and in how many years we can achieve this peak capacity?
Okay, I'll divide the question into two parts. No, in terms of our visibility of utilization of the capacity, you know, what we have created, you know, recently, and maybe in a quarter when it's going to be created. So this capacity is going to be reached to fullest extent now. We are confident, you know, in a 2 years time. So maybe in the next year, approximately 70% you know, level now would be reaching, and subsequently 90% would be reaching. So what it mean in terms of revenue growth? So while we are, of course, point number one is we are working towards consolidating the kind of leads, you know, recent Aero India, you know, before the previous customers and over onboard customers. In a 2 months time, you know, we are going to get a good grip on, you know, in terms of, you know, long-term visibility, and annual business plan is going to be released in April month. You know? By that time, we will have a, you know, better view, for, you know, from that point of view. Having said that, I can give an indicative kind of picture, you know, for the next year is, you know, a 40%, you know, is kind of, you know, growth, you know, we minimum, you know, we are anticipating for the coming year, you know, in, at a full level, you know. But yeah, definitely, you know, we'll come back, you know, in April month, you know, after annual business plan closure, you know, a better picture about that. Yeah.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. This is from my side.
Yeah.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Prashil Gandhi from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Congratulations on the great listing. I had first question. Sir, in the nuclear side of business, any products that we are planning to add apart from the drive mechanism systems to increase our opportunity pie?
Sure. So, apart from drive mechanism, we are working on six, you know, subsystems level, you know, key parts such as fuel locator, you know, ceiling plug, end fitting, shielding plug, you know, these are all the high value, large size commodity category, you know, of the parts or subsystems which you are working on, you know. So our plan is to complete around 8, you know, category of parts, you know, while we already taken up, you know, 5+ kind of thing, you know. So, yeah, we already started out of that, you know, three successfully completed and two are in pipeline. By quarter end, you know, 5 critical parts, you know, in nuclear segment is going to be approved, you know, or we are confident of getting approval from the nuclear power.
Sure, sir. That was very helpful. Sir, second question is, I've seen a lot of MRO shops that are being set up in India over this, in this decade. Our relationship help us in gaining higher share of this business in the MR Asia side of business, Asia side of Asia region?
Yeah, so that was a good question. And see, since the demand, the at least 50-60% of the demand, aircraft future demand is coming from Asian region, and there is a strong, you know, drive and focus to set up the local MROs in India, and India is growing very, very significantly on the, you know, aircraft purchase. So there is a, you know, strong focus on Indian MROs, and we are working with our end customers. You know, so basically we are talking about the 2 to 3 kind of, you know, the engines that are used on these regular commercial aircraft, so like be it LEAP or be it Pratt & Whitney. Already the licensees are there, and what I'm confident of is the kind of wallet share that is going to happen from the current, you know, the vendor base of the existing customers definitely is going to be increasing for us, considering, you know, the kind of, you know, the overall cost of the ownership, including the logistics. So we are better positioned there because we are a trustworthy supplier for, you know, the kind of our key supply chain link for our customers on any of these programs. And we already have a green channel kind of, you know, the kind of status for them with all these customers where we drop ship without their doing any, you know, the quality check at our site. Okay, so we have earned that kind of, you know, the trust and credibility with these guys, and definitely we'll take advantage of this, the new MROs that is coming, that are coming in India. And now coming to second aspect, the MROs where they will use the engine or the aircraft tools that are not under the license agreement with our current customers. Definitely, those are something that we are already working, and we already have bagged one decent order with one of the OEMs, and we are working, and we are in the process of, you know, delivering a lot of those tools now. Okay, so it's very interesting days for us, and we are exploring more about it now.
Sure, sir. Thank you for this insightful answer, and wish you the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Akshay, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible, sir?
Yes.
Yes, you are. Sir, my question is on the U.S. front. So most of our product goes to U.S. So what are the business risk or our order risk we are seeing by as the new U.S. President Donald Trump is elected and he is imposing tariffs on various types of goods?
Sorry, I couldn't hear it fully. Could you just repeat the question?
Yeah, what I am asking is that as the new president, Donald Trump, has been elected in the U.S., so what are the risks arising from the tariff he is going to impart on all the countries, so as most of our product goes to the U.S.?
So the question is, what is the risk of tariffs on our business with U.S.? So as Ram already covered on this topic, we are still studying that. It's still very, very premature in terms of, you know, the potential things. As far as we know now, there are not any tariffs that has been actually applied to us at this moment. And we will keep looking at the, you know, developments and, you know, see. And another thing is that these are very, very critical. And for any kind of a flight operator, just from a logical perspective, we don't believe they can basically slap tariffs on these very critical toolings and equipment. That's belief that we hold.
So, adding to that, I think these OEMs already have supply chain challenges across the world. They'll also have this kind of, you know, China plus one strategy where they can't afford to have, you know, the price increase again further to it. And on top of it, these OEMs, be it whatever commercial emission OEMs are there, they are kind of planning to kind of, you know, increase their supply chain spend in India. Okay, so that's a good news for us, again, knowing that, okay, we are going to use a couple of our existing OEMs to leverage on the Christian conference as well. Okay, so definitely, as we sit here, we don't see any risk currently, but once we kind of, you know, get to know any of the tariff issues, we definitely will communicate to the larger community.
Thank you so much, sir.
Okay, sir.
Our next question.
And, sir, my second question is on the capacity addition. So currently we have around 372,870 hour capacity, and we are going to add 23 machines. So our whole capacity, our consolidated capacity on one plant one will be 476,000. So after using the proceeds of the IPO, as per the objection, what will be our consolidated capacity in plant 1 as well as plant 2? So, and what is the expected utilization in the coming years?
Sure. So, after the machines, the another 23 machines in unit 1 and maybe 27 machines in unit 2, no, that are already ordered and the process of arriving it. So, the capacity, you know, going to be added, you know, somewhere 1 lakh and 1,18,000 respectively. So, more than, you know, 5 lakh hours of capacity would be available in both the plant, you know, utilizing, you know, utilization is from May onwards, you know, maybe, you know, the utilization would start, you know. However, you know, by March end, by in 12 months end, you know, we would be reaching to 65% to 70% utilization of capacity, both, you know, of, you know, nuclear and aero tooling and nuclear segment put together, I'm telling. And the next year, subsequent year, you know, in 24 months time, you know, we are, you know, going to get fullest utilization. Yeah, more than 90%, you know, possibility would be there.
Okay. Thanks for the answers and all the best for the future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashutosh Nimani from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes.
So, my question is again regarding the revenue decline only. I could not understand when we say delay in customers needing their engine tooling licenses from OEM. So, is there a like lot of aero tool inventory at the OEM end, or is there a lower demand? Just wanted to understand. And you told it is that issue is solved, and we are expressing a recovery in demand in Q4. You told, right? So
yeah, understood. See, as a supplier, the end supplier, we depend on the customer orders from our licensees, predominantly licensees and OEMs. In this case, licensees, because a lot of the effect has happened because of the licensee, you know, the orders. And the licensees work with the end customers like OEMs, MROs, and airlines. And typically, based on the kind of number of shops, new MRO shops that is been set up, or the kind of, you know, the maintenance activities that is happening in the field, or the kind of number of new lines setting up within the OEM or the MRO, they will have the kind of, you know, the ballpark forecast based on which they will kind of take a decision on inventory also. Okay, so high running tools, which has long lead items or bought out items, long lead time for the bought out items and manufacturing items, they will make a decision to carry some of the inventory, which are very highly recurring and highly high running or highly consumable. So, which is something that they could not, they didn't make a decision because of the renewals. Otherwise, the regular orders were, you know, the flow down, even we didn't have any impact on the regular orders. It's just that those high-value items, some of the high-value items were, you know, the missing for us from our licensees. I think that is why it kind of, you know, it affected our quarter. In fact, when you are, you know, you're kind of, you know, in a dilemma whether the license, you know, what conditions will, because they didn't have any doubt or, you know, doubt on the whether the license will get renewed or not. All they were, you know, working around was, you know, some of the, you know, the conditions or the terms and conditions that with what kind of terms and conditions they should accept the licensing renewal. Okay, so it's not just with my top customer, it's also with all the three licensees. Okay, so this is just one, as I mentioned, it's just one time event in a decade, which kind of, you know, solved, and then automatically from November, December, they started carrying the heavy high value inventory is also in volumes. I think that as a result, we are also seeing a very strong, you know, the business inflow. Okay, so I hope I have answered the question there.
Yeah, just a follow-up question. So what is the validation on this license? Is it long-term, like how many years?
10 years.
10 years. Okay.
10 years validity.
Okay, understood. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So thank you all the investors and shareholders we value your, you know, investment, we value your, you know, business very well, and we feel very proud to have all of you as part of our, you know, the investor community. And we kind of, you know, we feel more responsible now, and we kind of, you know, we make sure that, okay, we stay responsible, we stay as transparent as possible, and in creating a long-term value or middle long-term value for all our, you know, the stakeholders. So definitely the very successful days are ahead for us. While I agree that there was a small setback on one particular quarter, but that's not the benchmark quarter for us. It's kind of, you know, as I mentioned, it's once in a decade event. And we stay committed to kind of, you know, the long-term, with a long-term growth for all the investors and the company. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.